We're back on Drive Time Sports, KOAL 107.3 FM, 7:50 a.m. A lot happening tonight. Do not forget, here on KOAL, the Utah Utes will take on the Arizona State Sun Devils. That game is in Tempe. Live coverage will begin at 7 o'clock. Kickoff is set for 7:30. We'll talk more college football coming up in just a bit. Right now, we are going to talk college basketball. Of course, you'll be able to follow the Utes right here on KOAL. On top of all that, we have some NBA prospects looming in the Pac-12, and we'll also talk about the top 25 rankings in the Pac-12 in general. Joining us to talk about that, we have a great friend of the show, Greg Peterson, who works with 750 The Game in Portland, Oregon. He covers college basketball, and he's also a producer of the show. Greg, as always, I appreciate the time.
Fantastic to be with you. And hey, I'm a little bit closer to Utah now, so that helps a little bit.
A little bit. Last year when we had you on, you were in Wisconsin, right?
I was in Nashville, and the year before that, I was in Wisconsin, so I've been just a little bit all over the map.
Yeah, now you're in Oregon. That's good. You're in Pac-12 country now, which is what we'll start by talking about with. First off, the Pac-12 last year in the NCAA tournament didn't necessarily fare quite as well as I know a lot of the pundits expected. This year, especially with us being a Utah Ute affiliate, give me your assessment on the Pac-12 for college basketball and what direction you see the conference going this season.
I think that there are two teams in this conference that are just certainly the best teams in the conference. Oregon, just hands down, number one. They've got the most depth of anyone. You got Tyler Dorsey. I mean, Dylan Brooks is going to be injured, but he's going to come back later on in the year, so they'll be fine there. And you just got top to bottom, a loaded roster. They bring in a really good freshman by the name of Peyton Pritchard. He's going to ease some pressure off of everyone else. They also have Dylan Ennis. He is a sixth-year senior. You may recognize that name because he actually used to be a point guard at Villanova, so he will certainly help them out. Chris Boucher, a name that everyone else should know. And then Arizona, as I mentioned before, Alonzo Trier, I mean, people are a little bit, they're questioning him right now because he actually did not make the trip with the team to Hawaii. It is unknown whether he has fallen out of favor with the coaching staff, whether it's an injury. We really don't know with him, but Arizona still has a bunch of talent on this roster. Ray Smith missed all of last year. He was supposed to be a dynamic freshman, big man. He is going to be back into the fold for them. We all know what Sean Miller is capable of. They have to replace Gabe York, but I still think that they're a top 20 team, even without Caleb Tarzewski as well. He was a longtime forward for them. And then 3 through 11 is a little bit of a mix and match here because you've got teams like Cal, UCLA, who I'm just not feeling UCLA right now. A lot of people say that they're the third best team in the conference. I'm not buying it. We've just seen time and time again those Steve Alford teams just not get the job done. Last year they were a 500 team. They just really looked discombobulated. You don't know whether Bryce Alford is going to go 8 of 10 for 3 or 0 for the century. He's just hit or miss on a game-by-game basis. But there are so many evenly matched teams through that 3 through 11. Hey, I could even see Arizona State making a run, and they were projected as number 11 by the Pac-12 media in the preseason poll.
I'm with you on UCLA. I don't know that I necessarily feel that team being a top three squad of the Pac-12 this year. I will, however, say I believe Lonzo Ball is going to be a top three pick in the NBA draft this upcoming summer. I think UCLA's got a stud, a 6'6" point guard. I think he possesses some great size for the next level. Terrific passer. Could play either guard spot in the NBA. He's actually one of the guys that I'm telling people, pay attention to Lonzo Ball this year.
Lonzo Ball is absolutely exceptional. There's a reason why all those major magazines like Scout, ESPN, all those people had him as the number one point guard in the nation. I think he's going to put up some big numbers. The question is, it feels like they've got too many shooters on this team because Bryce Alford is obviously going to command the ball a lot, and like I said, you just don't know what you're going to expect from him. Isaac Holiday, very nice player, but he's a guy that's sort of a black hole as well, and they've got a really nice forward in Thomas Welsh. You don't know how much he's going to play for them. They bring in a recruit by the name of TJ Leaf. I know that Oregon was also going after him. You just don't know how much those guys are going to get the ball to. And for UCLA to play their best, they need to be getting the ball to some of their bigs so that they can balance it out a little bit because they obviously have some talent in the front court, but it just can't be them hoisting threes left and right.
Let's talk about the Utah Utes here for a second. Obviously, a vested interest here throughout the state. The Utes have been very good over the last couple of seasons with Larry Krzyzkowiak. Very difficult to replace somebody like Jakob Pertl. There's going to be a number of new faces this year with this program, including Jace Johnson. You have David Collette coming in from Utah State as well. I think this could be a down year for the Utes, but just because you have major roster turnover, it doesn't mean it's a lost season for this team, right?
No, not at all. And we saw it a couple years ago. The year before, Utah made their run to the NCAA tournament. They obviously made a nice run in 15, making the Sweet 16. And then last year, they were a 3 seed and made the third round of the tournament, or I guess you could call it the round of 32. They differ between second and third round, to use the exact phrasing. But that 2014 season, Utah actually played really, really well after they had been down for quite a few years. Larry Krzyzkowiak did a good job. They just weren't able to close out games late. And that'll be key for this team this year. And they do have one really good player returning, Kyle Kuzma. I mean, this is a guy that Jeff Goodman of ESPN has been very, very high on. I am very high on him as well. Obviously, it's going to be so tough to replace all those players. I think that there are 8 or 9 players of last year's roster that are off the team. Some of them were due to transfers, like Breckhardt Chapman. I remember he transferred somewhere else. You also have Jakob Pertl, like you mentioned, and Jordan Loveridge is a very underrated loss as well. I don't see Utah being an NCAA tournament team this year, but like you said, David Collette, a very good player. He was a stud the 1 year that he played at Utah State. He's a very experienced young man. He's going to step in right away, and he's going to give them a shot in the arm. But the question is, can Kyle Kuzma step up and really be sort of the DeLon Wright or the Jakob Pertl for this team?
Again, our guest right now is Greg Peterson, great friend of the show, also producer and college basketball analyst for 750 The Game in Portland, Oregon. Greg, let's move away from the Pac-12. I start to put together NBA mock drafts, and there's a guy by the name of Harry Giles, 6'10" power forward for Duke. A lot of people had said for years that Harry Giles could actually be the number one pick in the NBA draft. However, this is a guy that just can't seem to stay healthy, even with the knee injuries. I don't think we're going to see Harry Giles this year, right, for Duke. And if we did, and with that being said, how serious would NBA scouts take a kid like this?
Actually, I do think we're going to see Harry Giles this year. The last I checked, he's going to be out about 6 or so weeks. And that is obviously a wait and see, because schools, they're typically very, very generous in their time frame. So whether or not we see him is unsure. I'm holding out hope that we will. But at the same time, I certainly could see him being a top pick when he is healthy, because I don't think that there's any way that he goes straight to the NBA if he misses all this year. But if he's able to get out there for a couple games, we saw Kyrie Irving being the number one pick from Duke a couple years ago, and he only played 11 games that year, and he actually got injured in the middle of the season. He put together like 7 or 8 exceptional games. He came back for the NCAA tournament, and it seemed like the team was a little bit discombobulated. So there certainly is potential for Giles to be the number one overall pick, but we're sort of in wait-and-see mode right now, just because I don't think he makes a jump straight to the NBA if he doesn't play at all this year.
Talk to me about Josh Jackson. Here's a kid that declared a little bit later on in the process that he'd be going to Kansas, 6'7". I think he can play anywhere from that 2 to that 3 in the NBA. And, of course, he goes to Kansas, for crying out loud. This has been a university under Bill Self that has produced several top 5 draft picks over the last few years. Josh Jackson, is this a legit guy that people need to pay attention to?
I think you have to pay attention to them. This Kansas team has done really, really well with those 6'6", 6'7" guys. They haven't been good at developing bigs. We saw that with Cliff Alexander a couple years ago, and then, my goodness gracious, Cheick Diallo last year. Talk about a big, giant bust. But this is a guy that, like you said, he can play a 2 or a 3. He's going to be so hard to match up with in a Big 12 that, quite honestly, is a little bit down this year, because you take a look at Iowa State. They're still a nice team, but they're more of a fringe top 25 team. Texas might be the second-best team in that conference. Of West Virginia has lost a lot from their roster last year, but this is a kid that I really, really like, because he can not only shoot the 3, but he has better handles than people expect to. He's not going to have to do that with Frank Mason there, but I think that when he gets to the next level, people are going to see this guy is a pretty darn good ball handler.
Let me make you put your GM hat on here for just a second, or your scouting cap on here for just a second. Give me that one guy in college hoops that if you were a scout for an NBA team, you would have your eye on all year long. Not necessarily a can't-miss prospect, but somebody that you look at and you say, okay, this guy's a difference maker. You sense he's a difference maker at this stage in his college career.
I'm going to go with a true diamond in the rough, E.C. Matthews. He is the guard for Rhode Island. He played only one game last year because he tore his ACL, so you're obviously going to get a little bit of a discounted rate with him, because he's not going to go quite as high because of injury concerns. But this guy, when he was healthy at Rhode Island, he was just tearing it up. There just wasn't much of a team around him his first couple years of school. Now they've got a really good team. They've got Kern Iverson on the roster. He's a forward that used to play for Memphis. They've done a really good job of recruiting. It's part of that Hurley coaching tree is actually over there in Rhode Island right now. It is the brother of Bob Hurley. I believe it is Kevin Hurley. I'm not 100% on that name, so don't quote me on that. But part of the Hurley coaching family, so you know that he is going to be trained up well. E.C. Matthews, most people think, is going to be like a second-round pick, so I'd keep my eye on him. And here's a little bit of a bonus one. Alec Peters, he is a graduate or a fifth-year senior over there at Valparaiso. He had a chance to be a graduate transfer if he wanted to, tested the NBA waters. He is a 6'9" forward for them. He's able to shoot it from three. I could see him being a second-round pick and being a role player in the NBA for a long time to come.
College basketball is definitely here. It's right around the corner. I know a lot of people lose their minds when the AP Top 25 comes out. I'm one of those guys. I don't really care about the Top 25 as far as college basketball goes. I will say this. Duke is more than deserving of the number one preseason ranking. I take a look at this roster, and I see three potential top 10 picks on this team. Between Frank Jackson, talking about Jason Tatum, Harry Giles, this is a legitimate squad, right? I mean, they are well deserving of that ranking.
Duke is hands down the number one team in the nation. If it weren't for injuries, they'd be legitimately that team that we talked about possibly going 40-0, which Kentucky attempted to do a couple years ago. They are that good. Emile Jefferson is coming back for his fifth year. You just mentioned all their great freshmen. I mean, Marquise Bolden is now out with an injury as well, so that's going to hurt them a little bit, but he was honestly a little bit of an afterthought for this team. You've got Grayson Allen, who I believe is going to be the player of the year for this team. Matt Jones is a very, very nice piece for that backcourt as well. There's no way you can't put Duke number one. They have to be the favorite to win the title.
So, I mean, right now, it's so early. I know it's November, but, I mean, you don't believe anybody should contend with Duke for a national championship. And I'm not saying you're picking Duke, but you don't see anybody that should be able to contend with this team.
Not a bit. My second-best team in the nation is Oregon, and I just think they're a full tier below Duke. I mean, this is a Duke team that they could go up with some of the best teams in college basketball that we've seen in the last 15 years because I feel like there is a little bit of a drop-off with college basketball ever since the one-and-done rule, just because you can't retain some of those great guys for a full 4 years. But this is one of the most special teams we've seen in a while.
Greg Peterson again, college basketball analyst and producer for 750 The Game in Portland. Greg, let the listeners know where they can find more of your work.
You can find more of my work at our radio station's website, 750thegame.com. I've got my own blog. I did a conference preview on every one of the conferences. We've got stuff like the WAC, the Pac-12, the Big West. All of the West Coast schools are all covered in there. You can also check me out on my website, dudesonsports.com, and follow me on Twitter at GUnit_81.
Hey, Greg, it's great to get you back on the show. I know we'll do it again here relatively soon. Thank you for providing us with some college basketball content today. I appreciate it.
Always happy to be on. Thank you, Jordan.
Again, that's Greg Peterson working for 750 The Game in Portland, Oregon. We got to pause for just a moment. When we return, we'll talk some college football tonight. The Utah Utes taking on Arizona State. That's coming up next here on Drive Time Sports.